what to do. Amen. I was listening to Brother Lloyd preach, and I thought about years ago, I was preaching in a place, and Brother Wallace Timmons was there, and he got up to sing, and he said, "Now, if you'll do what this man is preaching, you'll not have gate trouble." Amen. I thought about that, Brother Lloyd, when you were preaching. If we will do what he says, we'll not have gate trouble. And he's talking about wanting to give that ring to the missionary. I've looked at expensive rings on people's fingers a lot of times and wondered how much it would give to a missionary if they just sell that and sacrifice and give it. You know, I have. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, boy, we're right in the same boat and thinking the same line. I got to think about maybe I had something I could sell to give the missionary, so I quit thinking about that. I didn't want to get into that. Got too deep for me. I'm going to take this little time. I've enjoyed being here with you. And I'll let you out here by 12 o'clock because I'm wanting to go home. It ain't nothing to do with you. No, I'm not really serious about that. In fact, we had some friends just came in. And I thought, man, I told Mary last night, I said, I'd just like to stay around for the weekend if we wasn't obligated. I'd just like to stay around, visit, and just, you know, get some fellowship. Because this thing's kind of hard when you're preaching. You kind of stay hooked up pretty tight. But I've still got that house back there, and we've had more rain, and I pumped for almost a month trying to get the water out from under my house, and I got to go back and do that a few more days and then head for Oklahoma for revival. So I hope the Lord will help me. You know, I try to listen to people and I take note of how they handle things. And I was listening to Brother McDonald last night and listening to him work the altar, and I've done a praying, but the Bible said do the work of evangelists, and sometimes pastors get just caught up in the pastoring and we forget to be evangelists. Amen. And you can take note of how men makes an altar call. Sometimes it'll help you. You know, and I heard his preaching. It was good. I enjoyed it. I've enjoyed everything, but if I do what I'm going to do, I'm going to have to get in a hurry and do what I want to say what I want to say. And what I want to say is the first time I've ever used this, and it may be very, 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 very much against how you see it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if I do, and you don't see it like I do, have mercy on me. Amen. I'm not like Brother Bob Osborne. I can't quote near the whole Bible. Amen. I can't do that. But and so good to see you, brother. So good to see you. Amen. You and Sister Osborne, you friends over here, good to see all of you. I want to read in Revelation. And, you know, the Bible talks about Revelation. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, shewing his servants things which shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and testimony of Jesus Christ of all things which he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, they that hear the words of this prophecy, keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So there's a blessing in reading it. There's a blessing in hearing it. There's a blessing in acting on it. Amen. So, amen. If all you get out of what I read is just what I read, and you say, well, now, Charles, you're going the wrong direction with that, I'd just say, well, I got a blessing for a few seconds. All right? I'm not going to hold you very long because, like I said, I'll try to get you out of there by noon. I appreciate that good food the cooks have been cooking. I love that food they've been putting out there. And, boy, I had some friends that made me a salad out of this world, just different times. And I love salads like that. I loved them. And they said, you aren't going to eat all that, are you, someone last night? But when they said, pretty soon, she looked at me and said, well, you are, aren't you? Amen. Praise the Revelation, 6th chapter. And I'll read from there, and I'll read from the 19th chapter. And I want to talk to you about this just real shortly. I want to pray that I'll get everything out of my mind that I don't need, because there's some things here that I can get off on that would really mess us up time-wise. Amen. Let's pray before we do it. Lord, in the name of Jesus, help me. Now, God, I need to condense these things for just a few short moments. I feel like that I need to say this. So, Lord, you help me with this. And, Lord, bless these people and their hearts. And help them, Lord, amen, to have mercy on me and realize that I'm not the brightest thing in the world. Sometimes I miss things badly. God, help them to have mercy and love me in spite of myself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, you may not have understood that prayer, but my son-in-law, I've just got one. I'm glad I didn't have a big family. I really am. But anyway, my son-in-law had a dream the other night, and he dreamed I died, and there's a bunch of my friends, but nobody helped bury me. And I kind of thought about that, and I worried about that, Brother Mike Roberts. I'm thinking, what if I kill myself in the pulpit, and everybody still likes me, but they can't handle me no more? You know, old people have to worry about things like that. You realize it, don't you? Amen. And, you know, I want to get a sticker, and this is not something that's original, but I want to get a sticker. I ain't got the nerve to do it, but I want to get a sticker and put it on my car, even on the bulletin board, and catch Ronnie not looking, that says, in case of the rapture, if you see my car weaving back and forth across the road, it's my son-in-law trying to get hold of the steering wheel. But I ain't going to do that. But anyway, I just saying, you know, I like to do that. No, he's really good. He come down at the minister's meeting, and the only people, nobody's ever said anything about what I said. They always remember what my wife said, but I made him what he is. She said that, and the rest of it's all what Brother Ronnie said. Nobody knows what I said. All right, let's go again. Let's start. Now, I've kind of eased the tension a little bit. And I saw when the lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. Power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given him a great sword. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for the penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power is given unto him them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, I want to go to Revelation, the 19th chapter, and read something there, if I could, please. Amen. 19th chapter. All right, 11th verse. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. Amen. I want to preach just a little bit. My main thought is going to be on his head with many crowns. But I want to also deal with the fact that who I think this white horse and the rider on the white horse is. And I want to tell you right now, like I said, I'm not a proficient a prophet or anything like that. I'm not any good at this. In fact, I was looking at some notes I'd made in 1976 when I was teaching on this at Thayer, Missouri, and I remember one woman that came, and she brought her pad, you know. I was going to teach on Revelation. Well, naturally, you got to take pad and learn. After the second Sunday, she quit coming with her pad or anything else. She just quit coming. So I just kind of lost heart trying to teach on Revelation, okay? Amen. So, but here, when I look at this, I read, of course, when I got interested in Revelation, I read it every week for 52 weeks and read J.A. Sice, the Apocalypse, through three times. And so I like J.A. Sice. So if you don't like him, then you won't like me. But J.A. Sice made mention of this, that bow, and he said, and they took it from Habakkuk, where it said, "Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the altar of the tribe, even thy word." And again he said, the 15th verse, "Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses through the heap of great waters," or the mud of great waters. The Bible says here, "Thy bow was made quite naked, even thy word." And that word heap, of course, in Isaiah 10 and 6 is translated the mire of the streets, mire. And so it means mud. You remember the Bible says, "The wicked are like troubled sea, whose waters cannot rest, which cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." So God said he took his bow, even his word, and with his horses, he rode through those muddy waters. Hallelujah. So that's just the kind of thought there that I want to give you. I want to give you some of the types and shadows, the reason why I think what this is. I believe this white horse is, and the rider, is the word of God. And the reason why I believe that, because of the fact in types and shadows, it works out that way. You remember whenever Jacob was dying, and Jacob had more, his name mentioned more times than Abraham or Isaac. In fact, more than both of them put together, I believe, if I remember, I counted it one time. But when he was dying, he said, "Moreover, I have given thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow." We didn't know a thing in the world about that, did we? Nothing recorded in God's word about that battle. You see what I'm saying? And what I'm trying to say, this red horse and these horses that brought famine and death and hell, amen, they obscure the work of this one, and yet he's still working. All through the book of Revelation, you'll find him working, the word of God working, conquering, even though it looks like he can't. It looks like there's no way. You'll find him conquering. In fact, he is a type of the book of Esther, where the devil had decided to destroy the Jews, and God, without his name ever being mentioned, amen, brought a victory for the children of God, even in that dark hour. Now, I don't know if I'm trying to get this in proper perspective, but I want to give you something that I really enjoyed this morning, early this morning. I was looking at one of these old pages here, and I don't know that I'll get all this, but I noticed I had here, read also Joel 2, 28-32, and then I put out the one side, especially verse 32, and I couldn't even remember why I wrote that. And so I thought, well, I'll go back over and look at it. And I want to just give you something from that if I can. Amen. You remember when Jesus was in the temple, we talked about it this week. We talked about how he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," and he come on down, and he said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And you remember how that he didn't finish that verse. It's in Isaiah 61. And he said, not only to preach the catching the acceptable year of the Lord, but then he said, "The day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn." You remember that? All right? Amen. On the day of Pentecost, Peter was preaching, and he preached from the book of Joel. And he come down to a place where he said, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He stopped right there. That's that 32nd verse. Joel said, "shall be delivered." And then Joel went on to say this, "As the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." Hallelujah. See what I mean? Now to me, you just do whatever you want to. But to me, whenever he stopped there, you and I can look at it today and read, because I believe God is on the move to save his people Israel. And that's the reason why Peter didn't quote the rest of it. It wasn't God's will to quote it. And I had never noticed that this morning. Here it is, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort them that mourn. And if you look at the book of Revelation and read of all the terrible things and all the things that happen, I'm getting ahead of myself, and you see all the trumpets and the woes and the disaster, amen. And you see that covered up. We get so involved with the things that's going on, the bad things that are going on, that we fail to see what God is doing. But after you've seen all these works of vengeance, amen, you come to the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, which is a number of deliverance or salvation, and you see the 144,000 standing there with him, and then you look down a little farther and you see an angel flying and preaching the everlasting gospel, and another angel saying, amen, that Babylon has fallen, hallelujah, and another angel said, don't receive the mark, comforting those that mourn, hallelujah. I believe that in my heart, praise God, that we can look at this and see God is on the move, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, but don't worry, I don't mean to. Amen. Now, the Bible said a crown was given to him. Now, I want to talk about those crowns, and I'm going to get through here. I'm not going to give you everything I want to give you, but I'm going to get through here. But I want to talk about those crowns. A crown was given him. You remember yesterday when I was preaching, and I was talking about sure mercies of David. But I talked about where the Bible said there in Genesis 49 chapter, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And we went through the word Shiloh and all this stuff. But here's what I want to say. I remember reading that years ago. I read it, and I can't remember just exactly the words, but it was where the Sanhedrin, when the Roman government took the ability, or the, what you'd say, the, not ability, but the authority away from them of life and death, and they had to curtail their judgment. You remember those old writers, the writer said that those rabbis come out of that room crying, oh, the scepter departed and Messiah has not come. You remember that's what they said? Well, they didn't know it, but the little boy running around on the hills of Judea, he was there right there. Amen. You know what? They didn't know that. And finally, 70 years later, the last vestige of their authority is destroyed when Titus destroys the temple. Amen. So there you are. But at that time, the Bible said, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. By the time they destroyed the temple, there were thousands of people that were following Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There was thousands of them. You remember I talked about, when I was talking yesterday about, in the book of Acts in the 13th chapter, it talks about rebuild the tabernacle of David. That word tabernacle in Amos means a liar. Lair of the lions, amen. It's where the old daddy lion and the mama lion raise their young lions, amen. Bring them food and teach them to be conquerors, hallelujah, amen. And so Jesus, the Bible said in the 13th chapter, he was the fulfillment of that. He was the one that built again that tabernacle, and he brought the Gentiles in. I think I'd give him a crown on that, don't you? I believe if he went forth to ride in these terrible times of Revelation, I think I'd put a crown on his head and say, thou hast redeemed us, hallelujah. And sing a song and worship God and say, you're worthy of riding forth on that crown. We may not be able to see you, but there's one thing we know. The word of God is still true. And the Bible says, God who at sundry times in the divers manners, speaking times past unto the fathers and the prophets, hath in these days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed over all things, by whom also he made the world, who being brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I could go on, but I won't for time. I'm just simply telling you, my friend, he deserves a crown. I'm talking about that word. I remember years ago, I preached a message from the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, and I talked about the invisible church. I'm looking at the invisible word now, but still working. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. The Word was God. How's that go? The same was in the beginning with him. Huh? Hallelujah. How's that go? I can't remember. Amen. I know the one thing. It comes down to it about that word. And the fourth verse, it says, in him was life, and his life was a lot of men. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the Word working in the darkness. Hallelujah. Remember the Bible talked in the book of Genesis, amen, that the earth was out form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. Amen. And the Spirit of God moved. He brooded over this situation. And then darkness, hallelujah, in the darkness, and nobody could see light. He said, let there be light. And there was light. Hallelujah. And Solomon, when he built the temple and made the holiest of holies, he said, the Lord dwelleth in the thick darkness. He's the only one can get in the darkness. The Bible said God is light, and him is no darkness at all. He's the only one to get in the darkness, and you never know he's there till he gets ready to let himself be known. Hallelujah. He's the only one can do that in the darkness. Hallelujah. Until he was there brooding. But until he spoke the word, everything was just the same. But once he spoke the word, and on the fourth day he made the sun and the stars and the moon. But before there was ever a star, sun, and a moon, amen, he was there to give light. And I want you to know, in these troubled times, you say, Brother Charles, are you going to put this in sequence and tell us when all these things? I'm just telling you it's happening and let you worry about that. Amen. I don't have to worry about anything. What I'm watching for is I want to see him get some crowns. And the first crown was given to him because of what he did on Calvary unto him. Hallelujah. The second crown I would like to give is found there in the ninth chapter when he'd opened the fifth seal. I saw the altar, the souls of them are slain for the word of God and for the testimony that they held. Amen. They were slain for what? The word of God. There you are. You're seeing it working right now. Amen. I'd like to give him a crown. Amen. For these, I wrote it down. I'd like to give a crown to the word of God that kept the martyrs. Amen. Because the Bible said that they were given white robes and they were to rest a while until the rest of their brothers should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. I'm not quoting that exactly right, but I'm trying to hurry. I'm trying to tell you when the Bible said in the 19th chapter of Revelation, it wasn't just the kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of Christ. He's not interested in your earthly kingdom crowns. Amen. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, then would my servants fight for it. My kingdom is a heavenly kingdom. I want you to know that. My crowns, amen, our crowns are brought through the word of God and the power and the presence of God Almighty himself. Hallelujah. I'm rejoicing in that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Wonderful.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. The next thing I'd like to give him a crown for, the sealing of 144,000, seventh chapter. Hallelujah. How good was that seal? That's what I was looking at whenever I got to that this morning. Amen. I don't know if this is it. Yes, this is it. You remember, I don't want to go to that. I just want to talk about that 140,000. And he gave the different ones. I like this. This is Cy. This is not Charles. He gave the different tribes. You notice that there were two tribes that were not in that, mentioned that. That was mentioned in, over in the Old Testament. One was Dan, the other was Ephraim. And Si says it because they were neither judging or increasing. They started out as 144,000. They would keep being 144,000. They were God's miraculous men. Amen. And so he mentioned this. He said, Judah means confession or praise of God. Reuben means viewing the sun. Gad, a company. Asher, blessed. Nephilim, a wrestler, a striving with. Manasseh, forgetfulness. Simeon, hearing and obeying. Levi, joining or cleaving to. Issachar, reward, it was given by the way of reward. Zebulun, a home or a dwelling place. Joseph, added or addition. Benjamin, a son of the right hand, or son of the old age. And he said, put their in order. That's the meaning of those names, amen. He said, put in their order, they mean confessors or praisers of God, looking upon the sun, a band of blessed ones, wrestling with forgetfulness. us, hearing and obeying the word, cleaving unto the reward of a shelter and home, and addition, sons of the day of God's right hand, begotten in the extremity of the age. Hallelujah. I like that message, don't you? I like that message. I'm talking about that 144,000 that are sealed. I hope that I can stay with this for just a little while. Amen. But you can see that 144,000, there was a crown, amen, for them that it was given him because he could seal them right in the midst of all the trouble and trials. The red horse and the black horse are the horse that looked like gangrene, amen. I can't remember what you call it, but anyway, pale horse. All these things on famine, hunger, wars, everything happening, blackness and darkness and gross darkness covering the people, and right in the midst of that, God's word is working. I want to give him a crown for that. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to give him a crown for catching away the tribulation saints. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what the Bible said, that he went to heaven. Hallelujah. Now you say, I'm not talking, I'm talking about crowns. I'm not talking about when, where, what. All right? You can be post-trib, mid. I wish it was like Vince Wilson. I heard him preach on the coming of the Lord one time out at Bristol. There's a lot of people out there, post and mid, you know, high-dollar people on that stuff, amen. And they shouted, Brother Vince, because they couldn't tell where he's at, amen. He's preaching on the coming of the Lord, and the folks pre-tribulation are shouting, the folks mid-trib are shouting, and the folks post-trib. I thought, man, that's good preaching. When you can get up there, an old man like that preaches, shout and stomp, you know, and wave them arms. Amen. People just shouting with you. And every one of them probably went home and said, he believes just like we do. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm trying to get to this. All right. I look at this. I look at this. A crown of catching away. And what a wonderful thing that through the persecutions, trials, and tests, and climate change, they went through it all, and he called them away. I like to give him crown for that, wouldn't you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If Al Gore there, he'll probably wear it kind of on the side of his head if he gets a crown. But anyway, I'm just talking about a crown that the Lord got. Amen. I kind of got off my thought here, but I'm simply saying, I want to give him a crown for that. That if I got that right, that makes four crowns. Amen. And then there's another crown I want to give, and that is for the salvation of the people of Israel. That's in the 11th chapter, verses 1 and 2. You remember there in the 11th chapter, verses 1 and 2, there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and raise the temple of God and the altar of them that dwell worship therein. But the court is without the temple, leave out, measure not, for it's given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be, they tread underfoot 42 months. I'd love to make comments on all that, but I don't have time. I'm just simply here to tell you, amen, the temple wouldn't be built except God wanted to move for the people of Israel, and he wants to save them. Hallelujah. I don't have time, amen. Like I said, I just don't have time to go through all this, but I'm telling you, if you'll ever study it, I want you to know that one of the grandest schemes of entire heaven and eternity is God's plan of how to save the children of Israel. One of the greatest things I've read. I want to give him a crown. I want to give him a crown. I'd love to get in on that, but I'm not going to. No, I'm not going to. Amen. I'm just talking about these crowns. Amen. Hallelujah. To see, you know, I believe that Israel will be saved in one day. Well, I'm not going to tell you how it's going to be, but it's in the Bible how it's going to happen. Hallelujah. I didn't know that for a long time, but I was praying, and I felt like the Lord gave me some things. And I'm not going to get on that, but I'm just talking about a crown. I'm talking about on his head were many crowns. He has a crown for the fact that he has redeemed us from every tribe, tongue, ten, you know, nation. Amen. He has a crown, amen, because of the fact that he's able to keep the martyr saints by his word, even in the darkest hour and the darkest times when all hope is lost, nothing left but to be killed. Amen. He has a crown for the sealing of 144,000. Amen. That could work all the way through the time. Amen. Of the beast, more or less, not through the time of the beast, but in the time of the beast. Amen. And they would be there. Amen. When the judgment came and the angels come and God said, don't hurt this. Don't hurt the green things. And he said, leave those goes along that's got the seal of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about he deserves a crown. You don't see him working, but it's the word of God that's going forth to conquer, conquering, and to conquer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Also in that same chapter, I will give power unto my two witnesses. I'd like you've got a crown, the sixth crown, for the translation of two men and the keeping them for thousands of years just for this occasion. All right. Hallelujah. Those sons of oil that emptied out themselves before the Lord. All right. Hallelujah. All right. I'd like to thank you for Enoch and Elijah. You can put Moses in if you want to. I don't mind. But I just think it's those guys that never had died because they're going to die this time. Amen. To think about that. I think he deserves a crown because they come just when they're needed. They came when just they were needed. And I'm getting close. I'm getting close. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm about through with this crown. I wish I had time to preach it out, but I don't have. And it probably wouldn't do any good if I did do it. Amen. But I'm talking about the seventh crown. I'd like to give the word of God a crown for the plan for that wonderful woman and the birth of her son found in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. Amen. 12 is the number of God's governmental perfection. Amen. He controls all things. Hallelujah. And give him a crown. Amen. For the keeping of that son and keeping her in the wilderness and the remnant of her seed. Whenever nothing is said, but God's still keeping her. Amen. They were kept by the power of the word of God. Amen. And God spoke to the earth and the earth helped the woman. Amen. When God says do something, they have to do it. They don't have no choice in it. Amen. They said, we'll not crucify Jesus on the feast day. Jesus said, they will crucify me on the feast day. They said, will not. He said, you will not, will. Amen. And when the time came, they did. Amen. Just like he said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me go on a little farther. I'd like to give a crown, the eighth crown. I noticed here, I wrote these out earlier this morning. I wasn't paying no attention particularly, but I noticed when I got to the fifth crown, it was a crown for the salvation of the people of Israel. Five is the number of grace. Eight is the number of a new beginning. And I want you to listen what the Bible says in that eighth crown. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of the harpers harping, and they sung, as it were, a new song. Brand new song, eighth crown, brand new. Hallelujah. And I looked at, I quoted something that I didn't give you all of it, but just to give you a little something here, 9 and 4, it says it's about these, and I mentioned it, but it said, it was, the Bible said it was, that he was commanded those, that went those, pit, those that came out of the bottomless pit, those, I now see I'm getting behind, those scorpions, amen, they were not to hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men, but only those men have not the seal of God in their foreheads, hallelujah, and they came forth, amen, here in the 14th chapter, the number of salvation, the number of deliverance, hallelujah, and they came forth, and not one of them was being treated for scorpion stings. Hallelujah. So I'd like to give him a crown. Amen. But the fact that they lived during the Bish reign, the judgment up until this time. Amen. And here they are. Amen. They don't have anything hurting them. They're singing a new song. They're singing a new song. Hallelujah. I know I'll not be in that 144,000, but I wouldn't mind being somewhere out on a high mountain. Amen. Looking on that. There's 144,000 there at Mount Zion. I'd like to watch them and listen as they sing that song. I'll tell you what, I believe we shout almost as much or more than we did this morning. Amen. Whenever they were singing up here, I'd like to be there for that eighth crown. Hallelujah. Am I wearing you? And I'd like to give a crown for the messenger to preach the gospel in this dark hour. A messenger to tell his people to hold on. Babylon is the same as fallen. and an angel to encourage them to resist the mark of the beast. Listen, comfort them which mourn. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel preached unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because they made all nations drink. She made all nations drink of the vine of the wrath of her fornication. A third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead, the same shall drink of the wrath of God. Amen. I thank God because of his plan. In that dark hour, amen, there may not be a preacher left on the face of this earth. There may not be one person that can stand up and say something, but there's something coming through the heavens. Amen. It's coming because of that horse that went forth conquering and the conquering. He met the conquering in the face of all defeats. Amen. He met the conquering in the face of all despair. He met the conquering in the hour when it looked the darkest, because he's the one that can speak and light comes into our hearts. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm closing with this. Hope I didn't go too fast, and I hope it made sense. Now, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, hath avenged the blood of his servants in her hand. And again they said, hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Hallelujah. I want to crown him because she's gone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I like to crown him because she's gone. And I heard it was the voice of great multitude, the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thunder, and saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God, the omnipotent reign. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in clean and fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness. That's a Greek word that means it's the legal rights of the saints. Hallelujah. Got a right there. Why? Because down here, amen, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's my legal right. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And it saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. I've told you this, I think. But in the cemetery at Thayer, Missouri, up on the hill, there's Charlie, and I can't think of her name, but their name is Telefero. They were there when the Pentecost was outpoured at Thayer. They were there when the dead raised. Amen. When heavenly music, preacher got up and said the angels was going to be with us tonight. They're going to sing. They heard them singing away up there. Pretty soon they heard them singing out just outside the tent. They said, he'll be in here with us. In a moment, the angels came in, and according to the words that I read, the people joined with the angels and sang. I don't know what they sang, but the angels were singing, and they were singing with them. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, see thou do not. I'm the fellow servant, thy brethren. Give the testimony of Jesus Christ. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I know you may believe that's Antichrist. That's all right. But for my little mind, let me just feel like it's the word of God. Because I went through Revelation, I just hurriedly, because I didn't have much time this morning, but I went through and I kept putting crowns on him, and kept putting crowns on him, until I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eye was a red flame of fire, on his head were many crowns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll cast our crowns at his feet, but he'll have his own crowns to wear. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name was called the Word of God. and the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Jacob said, I took that by the sword in my bow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And when you stand on that final day and you see this, he'll stand up and say, I overcame by the sword and by my bow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The word of God working in the darkness, but doing the thing that God said he could do nevertheless. Aren't you glad for God's word this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. And yet upholding all things for the word of his power. Don't you think we ought to stand and praise him? Just give him a good praise of it and say, God, you're going to take us through no matter what. You're going to take us through. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God.